You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And hello there, everyone.
And good morning to my friend.
Wait a minute.
I love it. I love it.
Are we being a little too friendly here? Are you going to hit me again or something?
No. I'm too far away to hit you.
That's right. When I used to sit beside you in the studio, every once in a while I get a kick in the ankle.
Well, or an elbow to the ribs or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. By the way,
you answered the phone one time on air. I think you deserved that elbow in the ribs.
I did too, yeah. You're right.
So don't make it sound like I'm the bad guy here. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. All right. Franklin Proctor here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
my friend.
Sous chef of the garden, undergardener, and a couple of little notes I have to pass along every week here. The phone numbers.
Yes.
Number one, okay?
That's your job.
All right. In Toronto. Jeez. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Then...
The mantra.
The little mantra. Call early, call often. One question per call. And if you are a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know, and he'll pass the word on to me. And then when you get to the air,
woo-hoo,
get
your
garden wings.
Socks knocked off.
That's
and
right.
You get wings along the way.
Garden there you go.
Wings.
Yeah.
So you can be like a drone and hover above.
So what's cooking?
All right. Tomorrow, if those of you that want to get into plants... Remember, spring is coming.
Days have
noticeably gotten...
Feb 2nd, Groundhog Day, not that far away.
That's absolutely true, and I've got something to say about Feb 2nd in a minute.
Okay.
But first, for those of you who'd like to, you know, think about the garden and get starting to think about getting dirty, tomorrow the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society will be meeting at the Toronto Botanical Garden, which is 777 Lawrence Avenue East, in the large hall. So that's the floral hall down in the basement. They meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the speaker starts at 1:30. Tomorrow's speaker is Marion Jarvie. She really doesn't need an introduction. For those of you who are avid gardeners in the Toronto area, you'll know Marion. She has a lovely property in Thornhill. She's a known speaker and educator, and she opens her garden a couple of times a year and even takes students into her garden to learn how to prune and to learn how to do certain things. So she's great and lots to learn from her. But I do want to just share with you my week, a little week in review.
Oh, goody. Okay.
I've had a rather busy week.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've told you before about Landscape Ontario has an annual trade show, and it's called LO Congress at the Congress Center. So I had a job there. I was moderating on a stage called the Green Live Stage every day. So I was moderating presenters who were presenting about live plants, particularly trees. And so that kept me busy Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That was sort of an all-day thing. I was on the stage making things happen, and it was fun. It was and some great, great speakers. Like,
yeah, you're usually so shy, too.
Really. I know, exactly. It's like, I'm like the perfect person to do this.
That's great.
Somebody even said to me at one point, you're really good at this. I was like, I think I'm kind of a natural. Give me a microphone and I'm happy.
Big ham bone. Yeah.
Exactly.
You are.
But even one of my professors from University of Guelph was one of the presenters. I mean, he's like 85 years old now.
Oh, really?
You know, Professor Emeritus Dr. Glenn Loomis. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Then, of course, the new winter semester has started at the college level.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So, off to college. Mm-hmm. Durham College, where I'm teaching the first-year students Introduction to Soil Science and the second-year students Nursery Operations and Management. So that, of course, again, kept me running around. And starting this Tuesday, I'll be teaching at Humber College in the evenings as part of the Continuing Ed Department, and that's a course called Greenhouse Operations and Plant Materials. So for anybody who wants to come do an evening
join in.
Class.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that's if you're at, you know, to the North Campus is Humber North Campus in Rexdale. That's a 6:30 to 9:30 every Tuesday starting this Tuesday.
What a, you know, for people who have made a resolution to get doing something interesting in the new year, that would be perfect.
It would be. And it's such a great group usually. Yeah. It's such a mixed group. You know, I get so many hobby gardeners. I get students who are hoping to, you know, really get into the industry. I get all kinds of professional
development.
Do you
have an idea of the cost? Just going?
No, but I think continuing ed courses, they're a couple hundred bucks, maybe $200, $300.
Okay.
And there's no textbook required. There's no extras that, other than your course tuition.
Good.
And it's part of a certificate in horticulture. There's four courses, and I teach one of them. And then on the side, I had a gang of painters painting the inside of my house, top to bottom. So, of course, every day it was like, all right, take everything out of that closet, put it into that closet. Like, it was like shuffle.
And the dust all over the place.
Oh, don't even talk about the dust. And the poor cats are so stressed. They're like, what is going on? So I spent a lot of time, like, keeping the cats as calm as I can. And, oh, my goodness, it's been a fun week.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. Well, look at
Here
you are in the studio. Little Frankie's here to support you.
Yes, thank you.
If you fall over, I'll prop you back up.
Please.
Okay. But we got to take a break because we've got a chap hanging on the line there from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Jim is going to be joining us very shortly. So we got to clear the decks and make sure we can do that here on Zoomer Radio. It's a garden show as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Jim, hang in there. We're coming to you, but I wanted to get the numbers on the air because, hey, this time of year, it's a little slow. And, you know, folks just, you know, are maybe a little reluctant to call in at the moment.
Well, maybe they're still fast asleep on this cold winter's morning.
Man, has it been cold. Okay, phone numbers again, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And with that thought in mind, Jim, are you dropping a dime to make this phone call here? Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Happy New Year
and
to you, too.
To you, too.
Charlie, first, late fall, you talked about Longwood Gardens here in the Philadelphia suburbs having a dahlia show. It was great.
Oh, you went? Ooh, you're so lucky.
Me and the wife, it was spectacular. They're, just to know that they're all dahlias, so many different red colors, the shape, the textures of the flowers.
And you're going to tell me what's going on at Longwood right now?
They just wrapped up Christmas, and they'll go into some form of winter. I think it's going to be a winter lights and poinsettia as they go next, but they just wrapped up their Christmas show, and it was really nice.
Oh, so you're that close, eh? You go to Longwood that often?
Oh, yeah, I'm 15 minutes away from it. Members, yeah,
so jealous.
Yeah, really nice.
So, okay, just so you know, I did get an email via something telling me about the Orchid Extravaganza. Starts January 19th, runs till March 24th at Longwood Gardens.
Now, where is Longwood Gardens?
Just outside Philadelphia.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, about 45 minutes outside. Uh-huh. And in our region, Charlie, I just learned this year, within 30 miles of Philadelphia, 30 gardens, the new thing they're promoting.
Okay.
Something you should run a trip down here.
I would love to.
There you go.
That's a great idea. Mm. So 30 gardens all within 30 miles of Philadelphia. Cool.
What about doing a remote?
Yeah, exactly. Frank and I'll come down. We'll do the show. I'm going to scribble a little note on that.
That sounds great.
So I'm calling about, I want to, my garden right now is a normal rectangular shape with a fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
We just fenced the full yard, so I'm pulling the fence off the garden, and I can expand it amongst the flowers and everything, amongst the flowers and the other plantings. I want to get some areas. I need to know what has to be moved each year, what veg has to be moved, like tomatoes. I have a bigger list of things that can stay. Peppers can go in the same place. I believe eggplant can go in the same place.
No, not really. Because you got to remember,
that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Honestly, just as a rule of thumb, assume that your whole garden should rotate every year, your vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
And this particularly, what sort of a lot of people find the easiest way to do this is they work with the families. So eggplant, peppers, and tomato are all the same family. So when you've planted them in a certain area of your garden, as a group, they should all move to a different quadrant the next year. All, for example, your peas and beans are all the legumes. They're another family, so they can swing into where the eggplant and tomato were. And then if you're planting things like cabbages or kale or broccoli or any of those kinds of plants, again, that's another family, the brassicas, and they would swing into where you just moved all your legumes mm-hmm. from. So you just kind of do this whole little round in a you can do it in quadrants or circle, or however it works in your garden best.
And that's what I thought for years. Mm-hmm. But a local expert on the radio here mm-hmm. had something different to say. So, okay.
Okay, no, and what did that person have to say? That just move your tomatoes and leave everything else where it is?
Yeah, I was encouraging people, oh, if you wanted to plant things in the same place you could, just make sure you move tomatoes and cucumbers. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a lot of people, it's very hard to do a rotation because we just don't have that much garden. And tomatoes are the number one vegetable, so that's the one that we're always going to grow. Yeah. And that's the one that's so hard to move. And yeah, what we find, and I certainly know from experience, maybe you do as well, first couple of years, great tomato crop. By the fourth or fifth year, tomatoes aren't so prolific, the size isn't as good, the flavor isn't as good. And so tomatoes, we really see a decline if we keep putting them in the same spot. Other vegetables, the one thing I believe that you don't need to rotate are garlic. You can plant garlic in the same spot every year and get the same quality crop.
I love garlic.
Yeah, I know you do. So that's the one. And maybe even onions, again, as part of that family, can kind of stay in the same spot season after season. But generally, I would keep moving things.
That's what I thought. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Hey Jim, nice of you to check in.
And yes, I look forward to visiting Longwood sometime soon. And the orchid show looks pretty cool, but it's coming up. So put that on your list.
Thanks, Jim. And you are listening to the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin and yours truly, Frank Proctor. You know what? We've talked ourselves into our first break, actually. So we're going to take a little break here. Hear a couple of our wonderful sponsors come on and extol their virtues. Meantime, we'll come back and say hi to Helen and Dawn in just a moment here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, back to the phone lines we go, and there is Helen in Toronto. Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. I have an unusual question.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know if you can give me some addresses for the, the flower catalogs they send out.
For seeds, for example, you mean? Or
Stoke seeds, possibly?
Sorry?
Plant in the garden.
Okay, so catalogs that still exist, because of course so much is online now, but the glossy magazines with beautiful pictures in them are typically for seed suppliers.
Oh,
for
I see.
Ordering seeds for starting either direct seeding into the garden. Some flowers like sweet peas we would just put, or nasturtiums, we would just put the seeds directly into the soil, or starting them indoors in the case of, say, tomatoes and that sort of thing.
Oh, I see. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome. Okay. But you're in Toronto, so you can always just do what so many people do, which is when you're out grocery shopping and you're, walking past one of those little corner convenience stores that has flowers spilling out onto the sidewalk, you just impulsively pick something up for yourself.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm too old to get anything on the computer. I can't use it.
No, that's fine. And I think if you're in a lot of shade, that might be one of your limiting factors. So just whatever you're falling in love with, just make sure that it's going to be tolerant of your conditions.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for joining
us, Helen. New Year.
Yeah, all the very best to you.
Yeah.
Off to Welland now. There is Dawn on the line. Good morning, Dawn. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a good day.
You
Excellent.
Bet.
Excellent.
Charlie, I have a question for you. Some time ago on your program, a lady called up and she had these shoots coming up in different places in her lawn.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same thing. You were going to research what it was. We had a locust tree, and it was either a black locust or a honey locust.
It's probably a black locust.
Black locust. It bloomed in in the summer.
Yeah.
Nice flowers on it.
That's a black
very
locust.
Very fragrant.
Yep.
So that was a black locust.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Black. Now, we had the tree removed because it was hollow in the center, mm-hmm. so they cut it down ground level. Now what we have these shoots mm-hmm. coming up all over our lawn, mm-hmm. both sides of the fence, and they're even coming up through our low-level deck.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard one.
And I've dug them out when they appear. I've dug them out, and they keep coming back. I don't know if it's the same ones or new ones that are popping up. And I'm just wondering, is there any fix or a,
ultimately it will sort itself out. But what's happening there is when the tree was cut down, of course, the roots are still there under the ground.
Correct.
And there's a lot of energy stored in those roots in the form of carbohydrate. So that even though there's nothing above ground, there's still all that potential energy below ground. And what happens, because black locust is a native tree, it's a very vigorous tree, it's sending little sprouts or suckers off the roots underground, and as soon as they get their little noses poked up through the lawn or up under the deck, and a little bit of sunlight hits that little shoot, suddenly now we're photosynthesizing. Now we're making more energy for ourselves, and so we really start to grow. And that's the challenge. How far away is that stump from your home?
I would say 30 to 40 feet.
Because you would be in a good position to use something called stump remover. And stump remover is designed for just this kind of a situation. It is typically sold as almost like a crystal or a powder form.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a big drill with a large bit, and you drill some holes into your stump, and you pour these crystals. It's actually potassium nitrate into the holes. And you can, the salt and the potassium nitrate works to kill kill that plant. You can speed up the process by following the instructions, and it'll tell you to pour some kerosene into those holes and actually smolder burn the stump if you're far enough away from fences and buildings. Bottom line, just getting that salt into that stump will poison the tree, basically, and slow down all that vigor. In the meantime, all you can do is keep mowing your lawn and taking that, the heads off those locusts.
Yeah, but if it's coming underneath the porch,
that's a tough one,
huh?
Yeah. Now, you could also, in the case of the deck, go to your local garden center, and you can pick up Roundup at your Home Depot, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can buy Roundup. It is sold for toxic, for plants that are very problematic, poison ivy being a good example.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, your black locust is obviously problematic, so you'd be certainly, I think, legitimate to use that Roundup, and you could spray, as the little green shoots start to show between the boards of your deck, you've got your Roundup ready, and you, as long as you can spray the Roundup onto the green leaves, you can kill that shoot. So that'll, turn yellow and wither down. Mm-hmm. Again, more could come up. So you're going to have to stay on top of this, spraying between the boards and not allow any green to grow.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not going to be magic overnight.
No. Nope.
It is going to take a few years. Eventually, the roots will die. Right? Because, in the soil, you've got all the fungus and all the little bacteria and microorganisms, and they're seriously working to chew up those roots. So they're doing their job to kill and decompose the roots as well.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we don't allow any green growth to come up off those roots, it will be just a process of it slowly dying down and disappearing.
Okay, where the stump was,
mm-hmm.
I planted a decorative grass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to remove that.
Yeah.
When I dug to plant the decorative grass,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was forester
mm-hmm.
grass, I come upon the root,
mm-hmm.
the big root. It almost looked like a railroad tie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Square. It's been there for a long time, that tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't remove it. I tried to hack it out, cut it out, power saws and everything
really,
else, and it was just so hard.
Wow.
Like a real hardwood.
It's a pretty
still under the ground, and that's the area that I'd have to go to put that chemical in there.
Likely,
you get a drill with a large bit. Yep. I would think, and just drill a big hole, the biggest you can do.
And Dawn, recognize that this might be a bigger project than you can do on your own. So this might be a situation where you want to call some help. Whether, actually, the first place I would look for some information would be from the International Society of Arboriculture. So you've got the arborist, the tree expert, who will come onto your property and give you some advice on what they can do to help you eliminate this problem. The advice costs nothing. The doing the work will, but they'll obviously give you a quote on what they would charge to do that.
Yeah. Now, is this an ongoing problem year after year after year, and for how many years will I experience this if I do nothing other than pull up the shoots and put some Roundup over the ones on the deck?
It's going to take a number of years, but like seriously, if you can control any of those suckers from actually surviving and not end up in a forest of black locusts, which is what would happen naturally in the forest. Like if your home wasn't there and this was still forest and a lightning had struck and the big mother tree had fallen down, all kinds of little babies would have come up and that would have become a real grove, a black forest grove. And that's very, very natural and normal. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to control that from happening.
Yeah.
So to stay on top of it, it's going to, I couldn't tell you for sure how many years, but it isn't going to be an instant fix. It will take a number of years.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your expertise.
My pleasure. Okay. Good luck with that. Let us know how it goes. Yeah, because
thank you, Don.
That's a tough one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Have a good weekend and, well, the rest of the year, too, come to think of it. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and, of course, in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to say, when we were speaking with Jim from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, and he mentioned Longwood Gardens, which I am, sort of salivating to visit someday. It just reminded me, because of the orchid show that they are having, that we have right here in the Toronto area.
Yes.
The huge extravaganza. The Southern Ontario Orchid Society puts on an annual orchid show every single year, and it's usually right around Valentine's Day. So this year it is the weekend of February 9th and 10th, and it is a gorgeous show. It smells great. It looks great.
Well, I was with you the last time round.
The last time.
No, you're right. Time before last.
Yeah. The last time round, I think Sean James was here filling in for you because you were off on some,
some exotic vacation.
Exactly. Right. Trotting around the world. And I was here with Sean James filling in, and he and I went to the show. Uh-huh. And I actually brought home a little funky little orchid, which is happily growing, and it's actually just going to start flowering, that I picked up at the show. So there's orchids for sale. There's experts to help you. There's
Inga and Peter Poot,
who
used to be my
buddies.
Neighbors up in Goodwood many, many years ago.
Yeah, they usually put together quite a beautiful exhibit.
Yeah.
And there's speakers. And I think to me, one of the best things that's there is there's all the accoutrement. So there's pots and there's potting
everything you need,
and absolutely. And there's tons and tons of orchids for sale. So just put that on your calendar if you can, February 9th and 10th at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. And the week before, here on The Garden Show, February 2nd, Terry Kennedy will be joining us for the entire show. She is an orchid expert. She's the one who has a company called Our Hobby Gone Wild.
Oh, right.
Because her and her husband started,
choosing,
growing a few orchids. And before you knew it, they had to sell their house and buy a bigger one. And then they had to build a greenhouse. And, you know it, they have a lot of orchids.
Success personified, huh?
So Terry is she's an orchid person. So if you've got orchid questions, just write them down and hold them till that February the 2nd. Because Terry would love to hear from you when she's here on The Garden Show.
Okay. Back to our phone lines here in the meantime. Mary in Etobicoke on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Yes, I have some grow lamps, and I want to start planting something for my garden in the summertime.
Nice.
I do have some delphinium seeds, but I haven't any other seeds, not yet anyway. I haven't made any selection. But when shall I start growing the delphinium seeds with the grow lamp?
How long ago did you buy the delphinium seeds or did you collect them?
I took them off my plants in the garden.
This past summer?
Last summer.
Oh, okay.
Too late? It's too late for them?
No, likely not. You know what, though? I'm going to just double check.
Okay. And then, I have two pots with the grow lamps on, and so I'm going to purchase some other seeds for the ones that I don't know what ones to look for.
So these are, help me understand the lamps that you have.
Okay, they're the bulbs. You buy the bulbs.
Yeah.
And we have two large glass aquariums, which are not used for the mm-hmm. fish at all. Mm-hmm. And so I bought some potting soil, mm-hmm. and I'm going to line them with the potting soil, and I'm putting the lamps on, the grow lamps. They fit on top perfectly, so that's what I'm going to use.
Oh, good idea.
But I just need some, seeds to put in, and I don't really know what to grow.
Or
get started so I can put them in the garden.
But it's fun to, like you said, collect your mm-hmm. own seed, and you know what delphiniums look like, and now you've got the seed. So assuming that you collected the seed when it was mature, you've kept the seed dry and dark up to this point. On a quick scan here on the web, it indicates that delphinium seeds should be sown indoors, so into your aquariums, into your seed starting mix, as opposed to just a straight potting soil. Get seed starting mix. Moisten that soil or soilless mix because it's dry in the bag. Make sure it's nice and moist. It says sow the seeds indoors 8 to 10 weeks before the last spring frost. So we usually assume that's May 24th here in the Toronto area. So back yourself 8 to 10 weeks back before that, and that's when you would sow those seeds. You're going to sow those seeds just below. What I would do is I'd sprinkle them on the surface of my seed starting mix, and then I'd sprinkle a little bit of mix on top of that, and then I would keep them moist with a spritzer. No pouring in of a watering can, because you want those seeds just under the surface, just an eighth of an inch below surface, and keep the soil moist, regular room temperature, and you should expect to see the seedlings germinate and emerge above ground 3 to 4 weeks later.
Oh.
After sowing. Okay.
Oh, okay.
There you are. There's everything.
Now, how about the other aquarium?
Well, it depends what you want to grow.
Do you suggest any other seeds for me to purchase to put in there?
Well, it depends what you like. I mean, if you like your flowers and you've got lots of sun in your garden, then it's...
There's a fair amount of sun, yes.
And it's also a question of whether you would want to grow perennial flowers or annual flowers. If you are growing some of the annuals, many of the annual flowers are we get them going now. So if you're interested in geraniums or petunias or begonias.
Well, tell me, would there be any for a vegetable of any sort?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, tomatoes.
Like what type of vegetable could I begin indoors?
Oh, well, the ones that we don't direct seed outdoors. So cucumbers, peppers, eggplants, tomatoes. What else sort of comes to mind? Generally, we direct seed all our peas and beans directly outside. Corn goes straight outside. Any of that stuff, we don't start indoors because it grows so fast and it doesn't mind.
Okay. And so I wouldn't start any tomato plants, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Tomatoes, absolutely. Start them indoors in your aquarium. And when you buy the tomato seeds, there'll be very clear instructions on the package. So follow those instructions to the letter and you should be successful.
Oh, all right. I will give that a try. I just don't want to waste all this in the basement with the, leave them empty until next year. I want to do something with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the tomato, don't be planting tomato seeds too early. Otherwise, the plants will be way too big before.
When would you suggest me put the tomato seeds in?
I would probably do the tomatoes about the same time as the delphinium, so 8 to 10 weeks before that last frost. So.
Okay.
March. So it might be March. Do a count back on the calendar.
Okay, I can certainly do that.
All right.
Well, good
okay.
luck with all of that, Mary.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
You bet.
Nice to hear people getting excited about getting dirty.
Well, you know, spring is coming.
You know
and
it.
So is another call very shortly. We're going to be talking to Joseph in Wasaga Beach, but we have to take a little bit of a break right here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty. Joseph, just hang tight for just a moment. Charlie wanted to get something on the air here quickly. Yeah.
I just want to share with you an email that I received from one of our many fans.
Well.
Dear Charlie and Frank, I'm a huge fan from all the way in Southern California.
Way to go.
I haven't seen a podcast in a couple of weeks, so I wanted to see if you were just out for the New Year holiday or if there's a change to the show. Thank you and Happy New Year. From John Kim. Thank you very much, John. And no change to the show, but he did send this last Wednesday, and it usually takes till about Wednesday for the show to be posted.
Mm-hmm.
So I did check on the AM 740 website, go to podcasts, go to The Garden Show. The January 5th show, so last week's January 5th, probably was posted right as he was sending this note.
Right. Okay.
So that one's fine. The one just before Christmas, December 22nd, is there. It's the December 29th that isn't there. But we were here. We did a show. So I'm going to follow up, and I let John know via email that I will follow up and find the December 29th show and make sure that that gets posted as well. Because we, you know, the podcast is... I was going to say, the podcast is amazing. Am I blowing my own horn or what? but podcasts are so much the trend right now.
Yeah.
So many people are downloading podcasts for when they're driving. Or remember Jim from Philadelphia? He told us he listens to us on the train. Because he rides the train.
Particularly when you've got some advice that takes a long time to go through with a whole lot of, you know, ins and outs. People can sit at home and go, oh, that's okay. I can hear it again.
Notes,
make notes.
Or
sure.
Stop, start, rewind. Yep. I mean, it's just like listening
it's
to
a great tape. Yeah. Great deal.
Yep. So podcasts are a super popular thing for a reason. There's some really good ones out there.
All right. Now, back to poor Joseph, who's hanging on the line there from Wasaga Beach. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Charlie, I have a question for you.
Mm.
I have a approximately 4-year-old trumpet vine, jasmine, I think it's called.
Is this inside or outside?
No, it's outside in the garden.
Oh.
And it's approximately 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not flowered as yet.
Mm. Okay, so trumpet vine is trumpet-shaped flowers, usually orange or yellow or red.
Yeah, this is the tag on the plant shows like a pink trumpet type vine flower.
Okay, and do you still have the tag? Is it in front of you?
Yes, it is.
Can you is the proper name on that tag somewhere?
Well, it's the name is Indian Summer Trumpet Vine, Jasmine. The Virginia Indian Summer.
Okay, what was the... Before Virginia, what was the word? Just spell it, if you want.
V-I-R-G-I-N-I-E.
Okay. I gotta have to look it up.
It has a tremendous growth. I've pruned it 2 or 3 times already. It's growing up against a chain-link fence. And it's a beautiful growing plant. It's growing vigorously, but no flowers.
Oh. It is, yep, it is a trumpet vine. Like the traditional, it's called Campsis Tagliabuana Indian Summer. So, yes, indeed, it is a very, very vigorous plant. It's an award-winning plant. It's a self-clinger. And it's on the fence. So I'm glad you put it on the fence and not your house.
No, it's on the fence, and it's grappling nicely all along the fence.
Yeah, and because I was going to say, if you put that on your house, you're going to kick yourself in 5 or 10 years because it'll just take over your house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gorgeous. But that's the problem with happy vines tend to be so vigorous that they just envelop the house, cover the windows. I mean, you just can't do anything. So let's just have a quick trellis fence. Is it in lots of sun?
It's mostly sun, yes.
Okay.
Very little shade.
It says, clinging stems, quickly reach 10 to 15 feet. Erosion, ground cover, mass planting. So, because this is usually not a hard plant to grow whatsoever. But
no.
it might just be an establishment thing, because I do know other situations where trumpet vines are planted, they're very happy, they're growing vigorously, but there's not a lot of flowers initially.
Yes.
So two things. One is, do not fertilize. No fertilizer whatsoever.
Oh, no fertilizer.
Yeah, because if you're fertilizing, you might be just encouraging a lot of green growth. And and if it's anywhere near the lawn, is it a garden that's quite separate from the lawn?
No, it's about a foot away from the lawn.
Okay, so do you fertilize your lawn?
Yes, I do.
All right, so now you got to be really careful to not get any lawn fertilizer anywhere near this plant.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because remember what? A lawn fertilizer is all about leaves, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So your lawn fertilizer could be encouraging
the whole purpose there,
all those leaves. So try and keep all fertilizers away. Only water as required. And frankly, that, if anything, kind of be a bit of a hard person, like, tough love on this plant.
Yes.
Let it kind of suffer a bit. If it gets really hot and dry, let it dry out. Let it even get a little bit limp before you rush in there with some water. And just that little bit of stress that's going to happen on a hot summer.
Could pour some flowers?
Often will cause flowering, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because you're probably just taking too good a care of it. You're watering it, you're fertilizing it, and it's happy to grow all these leaves. So now stress it a bit, and I think you'll find you'll slow down that growth a bit, and when it does grow, it'll pop flowers.
Okay. That sounds like good advice.
All right. Well, you let us know how that goes.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you very much.
All right.
You're very welcome.
Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us here on The Garden Show. We have to take a little bit of a break, but we'll come back and have a chat with some other callers here who are lining up here to talk to Charlie Dobbin on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let us go international. What's that?
Again.
All right. Off we go to say hi to Joe in West Seneca, New York. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, here's my problem. I got this aloe vera. Mm-hmm. It grows beautiful. Mm-hmm. After a certain length, it gets a bend and it sags.
No matter
what, I keep on turning it, gets enough sun. I says, what the hell?
You know what? That's a really good point. Some aloe veras are so sturdy and they stand up so perfectly. So, yes, staking, even just something simple, a couple of chopsticks, like 3 chopsticks into the soil, obviously, just stabilizing the plant so that you don't want them sticking way up tall above the plant. You can stick, depending on the size of your pot, even break them in half. But the idea is just to create that stability and do continue that turning that you're doing so that you're trying to have even growth from all sides. And be very careful with your watering. How often do you water?
When it gets a little dry.
Okay, let it get really dry. So feel the leaves. As long as the leaves on your aloe vera are firm, do not water. So it might be a month, it might be 2 months, however long it might be. Wait until the leaves start to feel a little bit soft. They might even get a little bit of wrinkles happening. That's when you water. So because that a lot of that growth, that sort of falling over growth is it's because of soft, fast growth, and we don't want soft growth. We want our aloe veras to grow very slowly and very, you'll just find they'll be that much more stable because that slow growth is much sort of thicker, if you will. So, it's more resistant to being full of water and falling over. Okay.
Boy, oh boy. I'm telling you, that's really remarkable. I never seen that in anything.
Yeah.
Read about it or nothing. Nobody ever mentioned that.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
That's why you called the Garden Show.
Thank you. I was going crazy with this thing. I said, what the hell am I doing wrong?
So that little trip to Canada paid off, you know?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
All right,
You're
Joe.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Great guy. Hey, great
I love
guy.
It. I love,
love
it.
Him. All righty, Gloria in Toronto. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm so happy that I got you before you have to go.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a flowering crab apple. It's extremely old. It's about 70 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and my arborist had to come and take out a lot of dead branches. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll be very lucky if it flowers, if it has leaves in the spring. Mm. So I said, do not cut it down. Leave it as an armature. I would like to grow some plant on it that will just climb up. And I don't want to use a trumpet plant, though. I
was just
going to
say.
Fella.
Yeah.
Have you got any suggestions
perfect for
what I could grow on this lovely flowering crab apple tree that is now an armature?
Okay, so give me an idea how much sun would be reaching.
It's growing and facing the west.
Okay.
West, and on the other side is the south and the north.
And are there any trees or large tall buildings?
I have a huge pine tree just a little south of it, maybe the other side of my garden. It's about 20 feet away.
Right, but if it's huge, it is casting quite a bit of shade around the crabapple.
Only for a short
for a
time. No,
hours.
It's got a there's no a shade on the other side. It gets a lot of sun.
Okay.
Even though that big pine tree is there.
Yeah. I mean, you have many, many options. It kind of depends what, first, number one, how patient you are as a gardener, because clematis comes to mind, properly pronounced clematis. The trick with clematis or clematis is that it is a little bit slow to get going. So
I'd like something to grow just a little faster. I can add that to the, maybe on the other side.
And the nice thing about clematis is that it is self-clinging, so it will just hold on and you don't need to do a lot of...
I know, I have a lot of clematis in my garden.
Okay, so you know how they can be a little slow to get started.
Yeah.
You know what I love and would probably do quite beautifully there is climbing hydrangea.
Climbing.
So hydrangea are the white flowers.
Yes.
And climbing hydrangea, of course, have white flowers.
Uh-huh.
And again, it will climb up and you will have to do some shaping and pruning and just directing. Any vine needs to be told where to grow.
Yes.
You know, you remember you are the master. You tell this plant or you prune or tie or do whatever you need to do to keep things growing where you want them. But I just find climbing hydrangea, it's a flat flower instead of the big round balls. It's
I've seen it in other people's gardens. Is there any other plant that I've never heard of? Something unusual that might grow fast and look beautiful?
Well, in the short term, there's some good annual vines. I mean, something as simple as sweet peas or nasturtium will climb as an annual flower and grow very quickly. Otherwise, let me think about it. I'd have to... my brain isn't flipping into the vine part of the filing cabinet on vines in my brain. What else is a nice vine? Scarlet runner beans, they're pretty fun. Again, they'll grow really quickly as an annual plant. Climbing rose, except you'll have to maintain it. And
I couldn't do that. I'm 75.
Yeah, it's too much work. All right, so then I'd probably go with something like, one of the annuals to start. And meanwhile, next week, I'll see if I can come up with anything more scintillating.
I listen to your show all the time. It's wonderful. Great information.
Thanks, Gloria.
Mention it next week if
I come up with anything more exciting.
Okay.
Thank you.
We unfortunately have to scoot. We're a little late here, just about.
Well, we've got mere seconds, so
mere seconds.
You're back later. And
yes, and then tomorrow night, by the way, officially.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Officially the host of Big Band Sunday Night, announced last Wednesday.
That's the best.
So I'm just thrilled.
Best. The station is lucky to have you, Franklin Proctor.
Bless your heart.
Thank you very much, everybody. Great questions from all over the world. And thanks, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without you. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.